Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
I kind of sat there and thought, what can I do now to occupy me personally from a bit of a selfish perspective, but also to try and make a difference to stop, you know, other people having to feel the way that I feel when I wake up and open my eyes in the morning.
Because this sounds like an idea which is too important to not introduce.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a dog with a bone here. But, you know, you're right. There are always going to be, unfortunately, individuals who are completely intent on looking at this material. And that will always be the case. And I won't be able to stop that. But what I can do is intercept them before they get there and provide them with more of a choice.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Mental Health Monday returns for yet another week and another conversation about mental health. Brilliant guest on the show this week. Stand by for that conversation. A reminder, the Mental Health Monday group is up and running. Various different things on there at the moment. I'll mention the team from Mallet in the Community, who are putting together a project looking at men and their experience, particularly when it comes to anxiety. They're working on an arts project for that one as well. So details in the Mental Health Monday group. If you want to help those guys out, girls out, at Mallet in the Community, details on there. Various other conversations on there too. At Mental Health Monday, just look for the group on social media. That's on Facebook, by the way. You can get involved in the show as well by dropping me a tweet. You can drop me a message on Facebook. You can email me. Email address is in my Twitter handle. Various different means of getting in contact with the program. And the reason I mention that is because this week's guest was recommended by a couple of regular contributors to the program and to the social media groups as well. So it just goes to show, if you're part of the family, you can bring more people on board. And of course, when people meet different people from different organizations, they think, you know what? Other people need to know about that. And that's what the show is about. It's about sharing those stories and talking about those organizations. Alice Hendy is this week's guest. Now, Alice lost her son, Josh, to suicide just last year and late last year as well. So there's been a huge amount which has happened in a very short period of time. But I wanted to make sure you were across this conversation because things are happening very quickly in regard to a project that she's working on called Ripple. Now, Ripple is a suicide prevention tool which is based around search engines that people use when they are online. I'll leave Alice to explain exactly where the story comes from and how Josh fits into that story, but it's obviously going to go places because of major conversations that are taking place this week. So I wanted to let you know about Alice and the work that she's doing, because I think that Ripple could be a big part of people's lives for a long time to come. If you're listening to this right now and you're able to share on social media that you're listening to Mental Health Monday, absolutely brilliant. If you want to repost it and tell everyone to listen to it, then that would be really helpful as well. The more people who hear these conversations, hopefully, the better. But let's spend some time now with Alice Hendy from Ripple. And Alice started off by telling me about the idea, where it came from, and hopefully where it's going to go.
So Ripple is it's something which I've set up probably in around eight or so weeks now. And as you say, you know, with regards to suicide, that's really the whole reason why I've actually set up this whole initiative. So I lost my brother Josh to suicide about 14 weeks ago. It was really evident that he'd actually been practicing ways and means in order to go about taking his own life. And when I searched online myself for some of the things that Josh was actually looking at, I just found that there wasn't enough support out there for people who are, you know, clearly experiencing mental health crisis and searching for harmful content. And that really is where Ripple has come out of.
If we just touch on the timescale there, I mean, such a short period of time that you've been grieving your brother, but you obviously decided that you want to take action and take action immediately, and actually the work you've been doing now has very much been there pretty much from the off.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, that the first maybe 5 weeks or so was very much me grieving, coming to terms with what has happened, which I still really haven't done, but also all of the admin that comes with losing a loved one as well. So really tough time. And once I'd got through all of that and the funeral and the interment that we had to go through, I kind of sat there and thought, what can I do now to occupy me personally from a bit of a selfish perspective, but also to try and make a difference to stop, you know, other people having to feel the way that I feel when I wake up and open my eyes in the morning. So that's really what's been motivating me. And it's really a channel for my grief, I would say, as well.
Let's talk about Ripple and what it means, the idea behind it and the implications it could have, because as an idea, this has got no ceiling on it, has it? It's absolutely huge.
That's right. Yeah. So at the moment, I'm trying to get this to be launched among nations, but the real kind of scope for this is global. You know, I've had interest now from Japan, who have the highest suicide rate in the world, but also the Netherlands, America, Australia. There really is kind of no end for this. My immediate priority, though, is to get this rolled out as far and wide as I can in the UK to start with.
Tell us how it works. What's the idea behind Ripple?
So at the moment, if somebody searches for something harmful in nature, such as something relating to self-harm or suicide online, what comes up is a Samaritan's helpline number. And that helpline number is in black and white. It can be scrolled past very easily, and it doesn't provide any other forms of mental health support, which people would perhaps prefer to actually speaking to somebody over the telephone. So the idea is that Ripple acts to replace that, so that when a user searches for something relating to self-harm or suicide, my tool is presented to them as a pop-up or nudge technique. And the tool is vibrant, it's bright, it has the Ripple branding on it, but it also includes a message of hope at the top of it, which acts really as a bit of an encouragement factor for users to seek mental health and to not look at some of the search results that will be coming up. So it's an intervention, an interception between the user searching for something and then the subsequent search results that come up. And there's a range of different charity options on there for people to click. So there isn't just a helpline, but there's also a text facility, a web chat service, an app, resources, things like that that people would prefer to use to actually get some support, as opposed to just a helpline, which is what currently exists.
Yeah, it's part of the research. Just ahead of speaking to you, I carried out a similar search and saw that Samaritans came up. But as you said, although the font is probably twice the size of some of the other results, you can straight away scroll past. I was heartened to see that many of the search results that you see just below are actually positive intervention services, which is good. But at the same time, there are also services which are not necessarily how-to guides in regard to suicide, but things which would be particularly unhelpful to somebody who is in a point of a suicidal crisis. And actually, that idea that there's something much more than, you know, a double fonted 116123 would very much change the experience of somebody who's Googling or searching online for information about suicide.
That's exactly right. So it is great that there are now quite helpful links and websites, which are the ones that come up on perhaps the first few pages when you search for something harmful in nature. But if somebody is really intent on looking for this kind of content, you don't have to look that hard in order to find it. And therefore, I think it's more important than ever, with the number of people that are experiencing complete loneliness and are very down at the moment, being in lockdown and not being able to see family and friends and spending a lot more time online, to actually have something a bit more forceful that really encourages users to try to seek the mental help that they clearly need.
Just within the sort of last year or two, issues have emerged on social media channels whereby I think eating disorders is a good example of this one, whereby people searching for eating disorders were constantly through the algorithm provided with further images which weren't particularly helpful to their circumstances. And it seemed to take forever for the social media companies to say, we're switched onto this and we can find the different path. That the algorithms built into these services, essentially, they're built to show you what you want to find. This is something that a little bit different, though, isn't it? And actually, it requires organizations to take a slightly different proactive step. Do you think that they're open to that idea, that open to that conversation?
They have been so far. They have been so far. So I'm having, I've got ongoing conversations at the moment with Google from a search engine perspective. But Twitter and Facebook, which then, of course, opens the door for Instagram for me as well, have been quite receptive to me so far. And I've got meetings booked in the diary with them next week to discuss that in more detail. Again, you know, in a similar capacity to the search engines, they are doing something when somebody is searching for harmful content, but I still don't feel that's enough. And I still feel that they can do more as a duty to protect users from some of this harmful content online and be a lot more proactive in actually searching for and potentially removing or taking down or censoring some content which is still readily available on these platforms.
I was going to ask you about that. What sort of sense are you getting from those organizations that they have this sort of the platform where kind of anything goes and you can put whatever you want on their platforms versus, you know, corporate responsibility towards your consumers, your customers and your users? How have they got that balance at the moment, do you think?
I'm going to be continuing to knock on their door, let's put it that way. So obviously they have their own agendas, they have their own research and evidence that's conducted, which highlights reasoning behind why they have the one box, which is it's called at the moment, which currently exists on Google. So that's what the Samaritan's number is, they call it a one box. And it's my job really to work with them now, in order to try and make it more relevant to people, because, you know, just a helpline number at the moment is no longer enough. And I think that's a really crucial point, because this goes really for all mental health charities and all organisations and individuals who are working in this area. We're only going to improve the situation if we all work together and collaborate. There's a lot of siloed working at the moment, lots of people doing fantastic things, but are keeping it very much within their own swim lane. And I think if that's expanded and we're all working together, there's much more of a possibility that we can make some really positive change.
Do you think that the internet and the search engines and those sort of search tools through those apps that we talked about, Twitter and Facebook, do you think they're the front line, if you like, for the sort of the suicide story that we have in the UK at the moment?
I would say yes, absolutely. More and more of us are spending more time online at the moment. It's become completely a way of life, if you like, for young people particularly. It's hugely influential. And it's just the way of the world now. Technology is only going to become, you know, more and more significant for us in our daily lives and routines. And as a result of that, we need to make sure that we are aligning with the pace of progression of technology and making sure that we're actively protecting people from this harmful content, which is a relentless battle.
Do you have in mind sort of Josh at all times when you think about what will this website look like? What will the person type in? What will appear below that search? And therefore, what will they click on? What will they see? Do you still bring it back to that personal experience that you've had?
Yeah, the whole reason I'm doing this is for that reason. You know, I'm not a mental health professional. I've never, ever been in this field before in my life. And I've really just entered this arena, you know, very recently. So I'm relying on a lot of my peers in this area, actually, to try to almost upskill me in this area. But, you know, Josh is absolutely my whole motivation reason, inspiration as to why I'm doing this, because he would never have spoken to anybody over a telephone line for a number of reasons. And therefore, I'm trying to make something more available now, which perhaps he would have used if he was presented with that. So, yes, he remains at the forefront of what I'm doing on a daily basis at the moment.
As ever, that we find speaking to guests on Mental Health Monday, Alice, that it's people like yourself who are using their own experiences to kind of make those changes. And still we find a situation where those who are grieving suicides are still very much the ones who are enforcing the changes. And I don't know how far away we are from a position where these decisions have already taken place because of corporate responsibility and businesses and search engines wanting to do the right thing. Still strikes me as odd that we're in a situation whereby it's up to grieving families, bereaved relatives, to still be the ones who speak out and say, whoa, something needs to change here.
Yeah, and I think there's two points to that. So the first one is grief from suicide is really like no other. It's just not the same as bereavement from natural causes, shall we say. And so that really ignites fire in your belly to do something about it and channel your grief into something. So I think that's obviously a key reason why there's so many people in my club that no one wants to be in, that's actually campaigning to make the change. But I think the other aspect to this is government. And they are now really starting to do something in this area. And I think over the next couple of years, it's going to be really interesting to see how government are going to be starting to put some pressure on tech giants and social media platforms to do more in this area. And that's become evident with the Online Harms Bill, which is currently being, you know, spoken about on a regular basis in Parliament. So there is positive changes to come, I think, from a government perspective, and that I think will almost force these tech giants into doing more. But, you know, my opinion here is why wait until you're pushed by government and legislation? Why don't you actually be proactive and do something now? Because in the meantime, we're losing somebody, you know, far too frequently of a day, and it needs to change.
And with that in mind, people like yourself and the Ripple system that's kind of ready to go, is that a product now that any of those organisations could essentially adapt into their programming, if you like, adapt into their systems? They don't even have to create it. You've done the hard work, if you like.
So probably not quite at that stage yet. It is being built at the moment. So we're building it, and we're going to be building it in a number of different formats, so that, you know, any businesses or organizations that think, yeah, actually we would value Ripple to be implemented on our intranet or on our systems, they would be able to roll that out within their infrastructure easily in a format that works for them. So with that in mind, I'm working with a team of developers at the moment who actually came forward following a BBC interview that I did last week, and have volunteered their services to help me build it free of charge, which is just amazing. So I just wanted to give a bit of a shout out to those guys. They're a company called Blue Tea, and they've just been phenomenal. So I'm having daily conversations with them at the moment to make the tool and to build it. And that's going to be in a number of formats, including the pop-up nudge technique, which is how it's intended to be used, but also via an add-on extension, which people can then actively go out and download. That's not the preferred option, because realistically, users in mental health crisis are not going to actively, you know, go and install that. What I would like is for this to be automatic, but baby steps and a lot of persuasion to go on, I think.
Now, it strikes me you've taken sort of huge strides, and again, so close, you know that 14-week period is such a short period of time. In terms of the people around you as well, have they sort of been galvanized by what you've been able to achieve? Of course, everybody deals with these things a little bit differently. Has the journey that you've been on provided them with a little bit of inspiration in terms of making a difference and making a change?
I think so. Most of my focus, to be honest, is just on this tool and getting it out. So that really is my main goal. And yeah, I mean, my family is obviously heartbroken, to be honest with you, and still very much grieving. And this is just my way of grieving as well. So we've all got different ways. Some people in the family don't want to talk about it at all. Others are very much in for campaigning for change. And obviously, you know, the way I'm choosing to deal with this is by creating something which hasn't been done before, which I think is so desperately needed.
You got those all important meetings then coming up. I guess that's a huge moment for you. There will be roadblocks in the way. There will be reasons not to do this, I guess. But I get the sense from the conversation that we've had so far, Alice, that you're not really going to be prepared to sort of accept those roadblocks. or certainly you'll find a way to program a way around them. Because this sounds like an idea which is too important to not introduce.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a dog with a bone here. So, and of course I would be, you know, I've got a personal story here attached to this. This isn't just some, you know, random person who's come up and is just creating an idea here. This is from somebody who is speaking from experience. And you can never really know how that feels unless you've been through it yourself. And as a result of that, you know, I'm determined to get this in some capacity. I've got interested parties to roll this out among universities across the UK. So their Wi-Fi provider and the network are interested in working with me. And that would mean that if a student searched for content relating to self-harm or suicide within the halls of residence or the library, as an example, then the Ripple tool would be implemented and come up for the user. But also other organisations like the military, the MOD, internal systems, Network Rail are having discussions with me. Cisco are having discussions with me. Even Barclays Bank are having discussions with me next week. So, you know, Google is not the be all and end all here. There's lots of other ways and means in order to go about implementing this tool. And that's what I'm gonna try to do.
And in terms of those, the evidence that you provide when you talk about the sort of the search results and the websites that you're aware that Josh had seen, I'm guessing, and I don't want to go into the details of what's on there, but I'm guessing there's no arguments that people who are looking at that site have an intention to potentially, you know, harm themselves. That there's not, you know, it's not people might be curious and people that actually it's pretty black and white that if you're looking on these websites in the numbers that they are, it's because there's definitely an intention there to potentially cause harm to yourself.
Yeah, I think to some extent, but I think there's also a group of users who Ripple can really resonate with, which are probably the users which are perhaps exploring the idea and are at the beginning of those thoughts. And it's those individuals that I'm hoping in particular that I can redirect towards some of the amazing mental health support that is available, not just from Samaritans, but also via Shout Tech Service, the Calm web chat facility, the Jacobs 1 Million Lives app, which is a dashboard check-in tool, Grassroots, and the Hub of Hope, which, you know, all have some fantastic resources available for people. So I want to capture those users and redirect them. But, you know, you're right. There are always going to be, unfortunately, individuals who are completely intent on looking at this material. And that will always be the case. And I won't be able to stop that. But what I can do is intercept them before they get there and provide them with more of a choice.
I was going to ask you about that in terms of like the interface that people will see. I guess there's a balance to strike there, isn't it? To make it clear that here's almost an intervention, but then you almost don't want people to feel like their sort of journey through one of these websites has been hijacked by something they don't know or understand, or looks different to what would normally come up. And I guess that's a crucial part, isn't it? That I guess that's about sort of authenticity of experience, that you type something in and the response that you get still very much fits in with what you would normally get. It's just so much more helpful.
That's right. And that's a really crucial point, because it's not my place nor my role to remove that choice from people, right? There's always going to be people that want to look at this stuff, and that's their decision and their choice. And I would be wrong to stop that from happening. So as a result of that, on the front end user face of the tool, there is an option that says continue to search results for individuals who want to do that. You know, ideally, I wouldn't want anybody to look at this stuff. And I'd want all of them to get mental health support in fear that, you know, they would do something similar to what my brother has done. But, you know, I'm not ignorant to the fact that that is not possible. It really is just providing people with a bit more of a choice, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And for many people, that choice or that positivity that they see, that might be their first experience of positivity in any way, shape or form. And actually that in and of itself is powerful. And if that comes with the signposting and the opportunities, you mentioned the Hub of Hope there and the services that are available to people, then suddenly that's about turning corners, isn't it? And actually pointing people in a different direction.
Exactly that. And that message of hope that appears on the front end of my tool, you know, could be the difference between somebody looking at really harmful material online and actually thinking, do you know what, maybe I should try and get some help here, because these thoughts that I have and the content that I'm, questions and phrases that I'm typing in online, you know, are concerning, and I need some support. And then there's a whole array of different options for them in a way that suits them. And that is the key. It's just trying to make their mindset change slightly into a more positive outlook, that things can get better.
Absolutely. Alex, we wish you all the best with those various meetings. I'm glad I've got you this week, because it sounds like next week you're wall to wall in these conversations. But they sound like they're going to be really important. And I'm really hoping that over the course of the next couple of weeks that maybe you're a little step further along with the support you've got now from the developers as well, which is brilliant. And at the same time, wishing you all the best with your own sort of status in regard to the family and everything that you've been through as well. But absolutely, I wanted to make sure that we had this conversation so people were aware that this was being worked on, that this was being looked at, because it seems like such a simple idea and such a great idea, and one which will fit into people's way of living, if you like. Now, people understand Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and when they want information, they Google it. So this seems to be ticking all the boxes that says this will make a difference, which is why I think it's a brilliant idea, and I look forward to hearing some more about the work that goes on in the future. RippleSuicidePrevention.com is the website where people can find out more information. That's RippleSuicidePrevention.com. I normally say at this point, if people want to get in contact with you, but it sounds like you've got those conversations boxed off, but there will be organizations thinking maybe there's something we can work into it, and they can sign up to the I know you get a regular sort of email updates and things like that that people can sign up to as well. But thank you for speaking to us today, Alice.
Thanks, Mick. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Alice Hendy, RippleSuicidePrevention.com, if you want to find out some more information.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.